So we are finishing the book of Galatians today, and we are going to do a couple things that are a little bit different. We're going to sing a lot, and then we're going to speak as a community, but I'm going to read Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Listen to what it says. Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work and then will have reason for boasting himself alone, not to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap destruction from that flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not be discouraged in doing good. For in due time we will reap a great harvest, especially while we have the opportunity. So let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the family of faith. You have, for the last couple weeks, been in the book of Galatians, and we have matched it up with the book of Acts, so you kind of know where things come from. So this morning, we want to do some things and do a more of a communal style. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to offer you the opportunity to worship verbally things that you're excited about God of. And we don't need sermons. If you want to take a sentence or two, that's fine. But we don't want to take like whole books, right? We don't need to hear from each other that way. But what I would encourage you, we're going to go Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So right now, you just heard the song, "We'll Worship the King." That's really about Jesus, but the first verse is really about the Father. What are the things, when you think of worshiping God the Father, what comes to your mind? And it's open-ended. Yeah, David.
The natural beauty that I see in my yard.
Yeah, I could see that.
All the birds and yeah. Even the ground.
Others? Yeah, Kathy.
I think about how much I loved my earthly father and how much he influenced me in my walk and how he still influences me, and I love the Lord even more than I loved him, and that has been a real eye-opener for me.
Yeah, David.
Life itself, many blessings.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Some others, yeah, for you.
I think about like where I've been and like what God has like brought us through, and just giving Him praise and being worshipful for that. Just looking back and just in awe at the impossible things that He has done and just how He's just been able to guide us and protect us.
Yeah, Becky, I was looking this way. Go ahead.
I just worship Him because He is so worthy.
I see God as standing as almost like an earthly father, knowing that he has taught me things in the same way a father might teach his son a trade or something, and just always being there to pick me up and help me and speak wisdom into my ear.
I want to run back to Becky's word, worship. It is an old English word. The etymology is from the word worthy. And God is really worthy of our worship. And I would encourage you as you journey through life that you become very cognizant or aware of everything around you. Everything around you is from God above.
Amen.
Everything around you. So the people sitting next to you, outside, the air you breathe is all God's gift to you. And all too often, I don't know about you, but I take that for granted instead of saying thank you. Some other things. So let's go from the Father to the Son. What are reasons why you worship Jesus?
He saved me.
Yep.
Absolutely. From myself. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, I haven't heard some of your voices yet. I know who you are.
Forgiveness and continued forgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah.
For my sins.
Bore our sins, sure.
For me, from my past life, my dad did a long time in prison, and I thought he was this bad guy. When he got out, he said, "Son, just always believe in your Father in heaven, and He is the true Father that you will find your forgiveness and you will find your way." And I just dismissed it. Was mad at him for a long time, and then now with my children and coming from the past that I come from, it's like it's just full circle. And it just makes sense. It's like, as long as I believe in Him and worship Him and give Him the credit He deserves, then there ain't nothing I can't do. Yeah, every day I wake up and I'm like, oh my Lord, I'm overwhelmed and I just can't do this no more. And I just take a sigh of relief and just say, thank you, God. And just that little bit just gets me through the day.
Now, wonderful in Philippians, I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens us.
Amen.
Some others, Jesus. What comes to mind? Yep.
Just plain forgiveness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Things that you, dumb things that you did. Mm-hmm. Just forgive you. I can't believe it.
Amen.
That He died for everybody in this earth, including me.
Absolutely.
I know that if I follow in His footsteps and do the things that He did, we're not talking miracles and stuff, but if I follow in His footsteps and my behavior mirrors His, it's all good. It's all good.
He walks with you through the rough places of life.
Yeah. If you didn't hear Anne, He walks with her through the rough places of life. Mm-hmm. How many of you have known the rough places? Mm-hmm. Only to realize that you think you're alone, mm-hmm. and then Jesus is right there with you, and you're like, okay, so I'm not alone. This is just a rough patch.
The whole time.
But I'm doing it with Him. Wonderful stuff to think about.
Everything around you is created for you.
Mm. Everything. Mm. Yeah, again, yeah.
Everyone here can praise Him for something. I know that. And I just praise Him for the way He's using me and the way He's going. I just praise Him every day.
So we go, we've had the Father who is the Creator, and then you come to Jesus in Trinitarian thinking, and He's the Son. He's also in the Scriptures called the Word of God. So Dabar in the Old Testament in Genesis 1, and then of course in the book of John, He is the Word, become flesh. Jesus was just like us. We matched up bone to bone. It hit blood. Had to eat food, had to sleep at night. He is the visible expression, right? Coming out of Colossians 1, of the invisible God. Something that people for centuries, millennia, have wondered, what does God look like? And then Jesus shows up on the scene. Really remarkable to think about what we believe. Some people think we're crazy. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm okay with being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move from the Father and the Son. And now for some of you, you haven't given the work of the Spirit a lot of thought, but we walk through the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about walking in the Spirit. That's coming out of the book of Galatians, both in 5 and 6. What are things about the Spirit that you want to be thankful for? No, David.
I've walked so much in the Spirit, it's who I reach out to, but a dozen times at least in my life, I have felt the touch of the Holy Spirit from the prayers of others that have brought me back from that.
Wonderful stuff. Somebody had a hand up over here. Yeah, John?
Genesis 1, we study that the Spirit hovered over and created the earth.
That wonderful to kind of have that visual in your head, hovering.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I love that God left us with the Holy Spirit because it's Him always accessible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Very much provided comfort when I was ill.
Huh? Yeah.
Gave me strength to get through it and supported me and helped me up. So I didn't feel despair the whole time I had cancer.
He intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray.
He does. He does. Encourages.
Discernment.
Discernment? Yeah.
Discernment to know, and even when you don't know. You don't have to know.
Yeah. Because all of life will have questions. And sometimes you get answers. Sometimes you don't. But even when you don't get the answers, you still know that He's with you.
He keeps you out of trouble.
Sometimes. He keeps some of us out of trouble.
If you listen.
Oh, okay. It's
you
the
out
listening.
Of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you feel the nudge, I was reading a book about, you know, when you feel the nudge that the Lord is speaking to you, you know the difference between a spiritual nudge and just a regular nudge.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You just know it. It's hard to explain.
In regards to worship, here, Romans 12, it's 1 and 2, but the first part of it is, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a worthy sacrifice. It's your spiritual service of worship. Notice for a lot of people, they think worship is just singing songs. We know better than that. It's our lives. Our lives. We give our lives become our worship. And people ask me, I was in a conversation and people said, Bill, do I have to, notice the word, have to tithe 10%? And I said, no. You don't have to tithe 10%. But if Jesus is Lord of your life, you have to decide what you're going to do with 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Notice it's a very different way of thinking. Some people think they only have to give God what He's due. But you see, then you're not understanding that Jesus is Lord of all of your life. Not just 10% of your life. Anyway, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Do you remember this song? We bring a sacrifice of praise. Sing that with me. We sing a sacrifice of praise. You know the house of our Lord. Do it again. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Do you know the next part? We offer up to you. Of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you a sacrifice. words of praise. Isn't it a wonderful song?
Yeah.
Wonderful song. What I am hoping to do with all of you today is to help recenter you so that internally, right, you come from a heart of praise. You come from a place of thanksgiving. You come as a people who are grateful. And once you begin to come from that place, it changes everything. Everything that you see, everything that you do. Coming from a place of gratefulness for what God has done changes us as people. And I'm hoping that you will know that change in your own life. Now we are going to jump from this. We're going to sing a song. Our next song, Dale, is
Worship the King.
We just did that one, and it's a very good song. Holy Water. Let's do Holy Water together. Everybody who sings up front, come on up. Part of building or putting together a community of faith is getting people to be thankful, right, vertically to God above, and then horizontally. So you've got to be able to do both. So in the Shema, coming out of the book of Deuteronomy, it says, Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So where we're going to shift to now is saying thank you to others. But to start with first, I want you to be able to, if you want, just where you're seated, say, I'm thankful for, and the people here. So let me start and I'll show you what I mean. I am thankful. It's been almost 10 years since I've been here. And I'm really grateful for the people that I get to do music with on Thursday night and people that I get to learn from musically. They're a wonderful group of people. And I'm the weak link musically. So, but I'm really grateful. They pull me up to be better than I am by myself. And I believe that that is true for all of us. And so for those of you that have been in this pricing, including our young people, you know, you make me better because you're a part. And thank you for that. So are there things that you all as a group want to say to each other in a communal kind of way? Now's your chance. Anyone is welcome.
I'll go. I'm thankful for what you do for me with music, for reawakening my interest in learning new stuff, because I've been playing the same thing for 40, 50 years, and everything that I do here in the last year is new.
Even if it's not right.
It often isn't.
But others. Others. What else would you want to say? Yeah.
I'm thankful for Carla, because she brought me here, and even before was a great example. Sometimes I think, okay, Lord, if I can't be more like you, make me more like Carla.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
I praise the Lord for every single person sitting in here, because all of you make me feel accepted and loved. And if there was ever anything that was really, really missing in my life and that I strove to in my crazy, messed up way to achieve was the love that I get here. Pure, simple love. And I am so thankful for that.
I'm going to second that one.
Yeah. You want to say anything or just jump on to that one? Yeah, I get that. So here's what we're now going to do. This is going to be a little awkward. Are you okay with awkward?
Mm-hmm.
I do all the time.
My mother thought I was awkward, but that's okay. But what I want you to do is stand up, and I want you to go find three people you can say you're thankful for them and give specifics. Three people. Ready? Up you go. Go say to people. I've told some of you this story I was just telling. Leah, 1954, there was this movie called Brigadoon. I don't know if any of you wandered through in that story. Those of us who are ancient of days. It's a wonderful story, of course. You know, almost all of my good stories come from my roots, either Scotland, Ireland, or England. That's where all that stuff comes from. And this one is over in Scotland, and it's the story of this little town that wakes up every 100 years. And then, like, we bump into the town, and we're like, where'd this come from? And I believe that for most people, their church experience never happens. And then when it does happen, it's like a Brigadoon experience. And they say, I never knew this existed. And part of what it is the community of people actually starting to be a community of people who love one another, who care for one another, who hold on to each other's dreams and help make those dreams a reality. And a lot of you know this in your own journey. You know, one of the miracles of this place is Hunter.
Amen.
He's a miracle. You know, 10 years ago, he would have been what I would have called a banshee. He would run around the perimeter, and we were all like, we're out of our element. We don't know how to do this. You know,
I'm
and
still there.
And for those of you that don't know, my one son Jesse is an autism specialist down in Asheville, North Carolina. And Beck would call him and say, Jess, what do we do? And he would say, try this, try that. But look at Hunter today. How did that happen? And I would say to you, it happened because of you. I wish that more kids who are like Hunter could find a place like this. And they would find that they really are needed, that there's a place for them to be. And too often everybody else pushes them away. But the wonderful part of Bethany, friends, is that you hold Hunter and hug him. It's more than he can absorb. And yet, that's changing Hunter. And it's really wonderful to watch. So we start with worship, and then we move to thankfulness, both vertically and horizontally. We're going to sing another song that Becky Bourne taught us. I know I don't do it the way the hymn book knows it, but it's Beulah Land, which is a wonderful song. And then, before we sing, we're going to do something very Quakerish. So, if you could say to your neighbor, Quakerish, go ahead.
Quakerish.
And you're like, oh no! But here's what it is. Historically, Quakers have been around since 1620 or so. And one of the things that they did consistently, besides the awkward thing of having, and I've never done this to you guys, put all the men on one side and all the women on the other side. Some Sunday morning I may just try it and then you can shoot me. Anyway, this thing of silence. So we're going to sing a song and then we're going to have a time of silence. And in the silence, I'm going to ask for you all to put what's coming up the rest of the day aside. Put all the things you're anxious about aside. And take a deep breath and allow the Lord to speak to you. And then after a period of time, we're going to hear what the Lord has said to all of us. That's very Quakerish. Okay, that's what that is. Silence. In other words, you don't have to just hear from God from me. I'm a non-entity in this. God will speak to you. You just have to be quiet enough and being willing to listen enough to hear what he has to say. All right? So let's sing Beulah Land, and then we'll go do that time of silence. Now, I know this is going to be awkward, but I'm okay with awkward, because at times I'm awkward. If you've ever been around me a long time, you already know that, so there's no news. But for a lot of us, quiet is an anomaly for us. There's always something on. We're always looking somewhere at something. We don't go to silence very often. And so if in your time when you go silent, you feel like you're taking a nap. And if you do that, you're quiet for a little bit and you find yourself snoring, and 20 minutes later, that just means you're tired. Don't beat yourself up. Go take your nap. God knows you're tired. Get your rest. But when you get your rest, come back and be quiet. Allow him to speak to you. All right, so we're going to go there. And if that makes you nervous, doodle. Get yourself a pen and doodle. But it's a practice I need to help you learn to do so that God can speak to you. If you're not silent, you can't hear what he's trying to tell you. All right, so here we go. Amen. So what did he say?
Trust him.
Give that to me. Yeah. I love you.
Wonderful.
Wait.
What's that?
Wait.
You know, I'm going to jump on that just for a second, Maria, because the word wait is connected to hope. And it means it's coming, but just not yet. But it's coming. So we wait with hope. Some others.
I've made you to do great things.
Yep.
I don't know how to say this, but I said, Lord, you're going to give me the words. But I completely forgot yesterday was sweetest day, which was a bad thing. And my wife is the sweetest person I can ever think of. And I failed her throughout these years. And I failed her wish I could take it back, but I can't. Lord, forgive me. We forgive you, Lord.
First John would say to us, if we say, that's a better present tense, we have not sinned. The truth is not in us. So we all know things just like what Roy's knowing. But if we admit that we have sinned, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and set us free for the life that we have left. Don't deceive yourselves. Own your past. Ask for forgiveness. Try to make restitution. But don't live with that ball and a chain on you. That's not what God would have. Free yourself from your past. Some other things. What else was God saying?
That I need to be quiet and listen more often. One of the hardest times in my life, way back when, I had a car that was such a junker, even the radio didn't work. And sometimes I would do my little Bible study in the morning, wake up and say, God, I need something good to happen today. It can't all be bad. And sometimes that radio would turn on. And just, what a blessing, a radio, a song. And then it would turn back off again. But in hindsight, when I look back, those quiet times in the car, I really grew because I listened more and I thought more of things.
I remember my friend Steve Wiles and Jerry Moore. The times I had with them, I'm so thankful. That's what comes to mind, I don't know why.
You ever do that when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you get a picture of somebody in your face? You know, it's right, they're right there. I had a picture, I didn't even know who it was, but I know the face. And I said, Lord, whoever that is, because I can't remember them, I need to pray for them. Something's going on in their lives. When you feel that nudge, act on the nudge. Act on it. Maybe I should write them a letter. Write the letter. I should call them. Make the call. That only comes because you and I are attentive, right? We're listening to what God is trying to do. Notice, at least it's true for me, I have two ears and one mouth. But the tragedy is that I think of myself as having two mouths and one ear. And I don't listen enough. I'm going to brag about my wife for a second. She doesn't know I was going to do this. We've known each other for 50 years. And at times, she has a gear in her life. And she can be quiet where her husband doesn't have that gear. She went on a silent retreat for 4 days. And never talked. And she said it was wonderful because I got to hear what God is doing. I don't know if you have that in your life, but take the time to let him speak to you. And here's my promise. If you ask him to show up, he will. Then you got to be ready to deal with whatever he's showing you, which is tough. We're going to do this one song called Salt and Light. A little exercise coming your way. In the end of Galatians, it says, let's not be discouraged in doing good, for in due time it will reap Great rewards if we don't become weary. So let's do good for all people, especially to those who are the household of faith. Earlier, up there in verse 5, it says, learn how to bear one another's burdens. So the word for burden actually translates over into English as the word weight. Like for those of you who lifted weights, did you ever try to do that? I tried to lift weights to get bigger. I stayed the same. No girls were ever really impressed. But there is this sense of being a weight. Now, what you may not have in your head is that when you're carrying a weight, sometimes it's more than you can bear. And when you're in a community of faith, the work is to begin to share one another's burdens. Another translation for the word weight is the sense of that which is in a ship's cargo hold, and it weighs the ship down. And you couldn't carry that weight by yourself. You needed a ship to move whatever was in that cargo hold. But it's the weight. And there are things in our lives where we're carrying more weight than we can carry. And it says to share one another's burden. Now, before we go there, and I'm going to ask for you to find people who you know are carrying a burden. And I want you to find them and pray for them. So think about what's going on. Now, before I get to where I'm finished here, and this is part of growing up, and Alyssa, Caleb, Bobby, this is for you guys more than the adults who are going to hear it. Part of growing up is taking this word called responsibility seriously. And it's a compound word coming out of the word responsible. And I need for you, as you grow up, to say, I will be responsible because I am able. Does that make sense? So your response able. There are things that you will all need individually to carry. That's your burden to carry. It's like going on a backpack trip and, you know, Dad says, you're going to carry your own weight. I ain't carrying your sleeping bag. It's your sleeping bag. Now, if you don't want a sleeping bag, it's going to be cold tonight. Or in this case, it's going to be wet. Don't be looking to get in my sleeping bag. Carry your own weight. So there are things that you need to carry. Don't opt out. Don't blame somebody else for things that didn't work. How many of us have said, when the teacher says, okay, turn in your paper, and somebody in my classes would always say, the dog ate it.
Never had a dog.
I don't care. Then go to your printer and print it out again. Don't blame others for your work.
Don't blame your dog.
And part of it is when you blame others, you aren't raising your hand and saying, I'm the responsible one. I need for you to grow up. Be responsible. Don't blame others for the things that have happened that you're responsible for. That's your work. When your work becomes overwhelming, and it becomes a burden, that's when we bring in the community of faith and we help each other. But a healthy community, people understand that they need to step up and do their work. And because they were able to do that, they're then able to start to look around and see who else needs help and help those who are being crushed by some one of the burdens of life, be it temptations, be it work, be it finances, whatever it is, some of us here are crumbling under a heavy load. In Galatians 6, Paul would say, learn to care for and carry each other's burdens. Are there people in your lives that you've known that are carrying a burden? Do you know those people? Today, whether they're in this room or not, I want you to promise me that this week you will call them. Can I see the hands of the people who will call those whom are carrying a burden? You see, friends, we grow as believers when we learn to shoulder the weight of the things God has given us to do. If you don't start to carry some of your own weight, you'll never grow up. I need for you, for the things you can, to put that on and carry those things. And then once you've learned to shoulder those things, to begin to look to others and say, how can I help? And you see, in so doing, we become the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, if you read Galatians 6 carefully, you will notice it says, and so we will be obedient to the law of Christ. That law is to learn to love one another. So I need for you to do this, and this is how we'll start. Turn to your neighbor and say,
neighbor.
And say to her too,
neighbor.
I love you.
I love you.
Okay, now get up and find somebody that you need to pray for to carry each other's burdens. So up you come. Two or three people. When you've caught up with somebody, pray for them and then go find somebody else that they've been on your heart. We're grateful for the rain outside, even though that means some of us are going to get wet. And Father, we're looking for umbrellas that can help move up, especially the gals to cars. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the blessing of rain, for what nurtures the land. And every day we drink water that really has come from you. Father, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and God's people together say,
amen.
Enjoy your day. Try to stay dry.